Sherry left the Good evening.
Good evening or afternoon. Is it evening over there?
Well, the sun's out, but some people think it's evening because it's 4 o'clock.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay. Wow. It's 1 o'clock here. Oh, well, of course you know that.
Ari is just saying to you that she thinks she's living in a building filled with old people.
I'm not saying that at all.
So let us get started. For those of you who don't have gray papers or any other ways, please join me in saying the Adipikoff. Adna Adipikova, Kidulachami, all of the Kimmel, you top Zadi. Kabel Rinas, Ambas, Venu, Faharenu, Nora, Ufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagi Bor, Dorshe, Yabuka, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Barhem Daharem Rahamesikata Tamid Galem. Bet Tetresh, Sadi Kaf Gimel. Tasim Kadosh Bero Duka Nael Adatecha Hetkufet Tatunayan. The letters of the month of Tishrei. The Pei that created the planet Toga. The planet Venus. And the Lamet that created the constellation Osnaim, the scales, or the Libra. Together, the Pei and the Lamed have a gematria of 110. And we can add the one for the Kolel to make it 111, which is the gematria of the Lamed, of the Aleph when it's spelled out, Aleph Pei, Aleph Lamed Pei. But the Aleph represents the energy of unification, of oneness. And that's what the Pei and the Lamed represents, because it can be translated in the reverse order. The Lamed is the teacher, and the Pei is our mouth. And when we learn not to say Lashon Hara, we connect to oneness. We unify with the whole Kahal. And there's a very special year this year. It's the 8th year of the Shemitah. People don't know how you could have 8 years of a 7-year cycle, but the 8th year in the Shemitah is the Kahal. It's the time when the king read the book of Deuteronomy to the whole congregation, the whole assembly, which is what Kahal means. And this is the year of the Kahal. And that is what is done on Hoshana Rabbah, in the temple on the 8th year of the Shemitah cycle, but the Kabbalists do it every year. Shabbatenu Kabel, Yachid Geer Lanha Pnei Zohre Kedushatecha Dit Kimolamet Pei Zayin Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Ta'alumo Shinkufla Shinkufa Zadiyuta. And we say the eighth verse in a whisper. Now to read a short verse from the Zohar. L'shem yifud b'chabri hu ishkin tebin ilu urhimu uchimu. Udhimu urhimu yaleakta shem yudhe b'vavhe. B'yifudha shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limut Torah mitzvah. By Enom, Adonai Eloheinu, Aleinu Maaseya Dein Kodeneo, Aleinu Maaseya Dein Kodeneo. Verse 182 of the prologue in section 19, Torah and prayer. Tachatze Eita Levar Nash Tadihu Salek Balelia Al Arseya Bae Lekabela Aleya Malkuta Bilela Bilibar Shalim Ulach Tishma Bameim Sarkameya Yukpi Tona Dinavshe Yad Ishtazel Mikol Miarim Bishin Mikol Ruhim Bishin Vilashaltin Aleya. Come and see. Good advice for all people. When a person lies on his bed at night and goes to sleep, he should wholeheartedly take upon himself the yoke of complete subordination to the heavenly kingdom, and he should quickly prepare to return his entrusted soul to him. Then he shall be immediately spared from all bad diseases and evil spirits, and they shall have no power over him. Any questions? Any comments? Any?
I have another question. I thought.
Yeah. That's where it is. Out your window. That's out your window.
Oh, yeah.
Venus.
It's a planet of love, right?
It's about a pattern of clouds.
Planet of love.
The planet of clouds, actually. You have to go see the Kabbalist.
I can love everybody.
You can read the planet, the Kabbalist Shabtai Donalo to find out what the weather is like on Venus. Or you can go to NASA and ask them what they think it is based on what they've sent up there and spent billions of dollars doing. Or you can just go to the Kabbalists and ask. And according to the Kabbalists, the weather on Venus is cloudy.
Do they have that?
Venus does have an atmosphere, yes, but it does not have a surface. It's very hot. Oh, it's gaseous and very hot. Its core is constantly erupting. It's all, you know, it's typical of love.
That's right. You know, too hot to handle.
Too hot to handle.
You are talking about a planet now, right? It seems to like...
Expand. I'm kidding. And Ariel, are you still there?
I am, but it's kind of difficult to hear. Jim's here too. We're trying to make out the conversation, but I can't hear completely.
I understand. I'll try. How are you, Jim?
Good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. We're just making jokes that are very real about love and the planet Venus. But this should be easier for you to hear because I'm speaking directly into the phone.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So today's class is on Shabbat. And Shabbat is a very unique day. And this Wednesday is a Shabbat Shabbaton, according to the Torah. It's the Sabbath of the Sabbaths. But let's talk about the normal Shabbat. What happens? Most people feel that it's a normal day. And they go about their business. Other people feel it's a special day and they do special things, but almost nobody keeps the Shabbat properly. Almost nobody guards the Shabbat. And let me explain what all those terms mean. Keep is Zachor, which is also the word for male, meaning sharing. The word for guard is shamor, which is guarding. And we speak of guarding Shabbat. Shabbat needs to be guarded? Doesn't make any sense, does it? But let's understand it through a metaphor that my teachers have taught me. It's Friday afternoon. And on Friday afternoon, you have the largest, greatest, most intrusive traffic jams in the history of the world. Why is that any different? Everybody goes home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And sometimes there's traffic jams and sometimes it's smooth. But on Friday night, it is always a traffic jam. Why? People are going to get away for the weekend. That is the physical explanation everybody gives me. And you're absolutely wrong. Because if they're going away for the weekend, they're still driving home. If they're not driving home, they're going out of town, which means there's less traffic on their way home. Okay.
I always keep me from getting
and that is the closest thing to the correct answer that you can come up with. In case you didn't hear it on the conference call, Ari said the reason that there are heavy traffic Friday afternoon is it's to keep her from getting home for Shabbat.
Yeah.
Nobody else but for her.
Yeah.
Usually
the
only one in the car.
Yes, I can appreciate that. But what happens on Friday afternoon, it's a Star Wars, a literal Star Wars between good and evil. All week long, we are dealing with the Klipot, the negative system. But on Friday, the spiritual system goes to work and says, no, 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 no. You can't be here anymore. Go home to the Milky Way. And the Satan and his minions say, no, I want to stay here. And there is a fight. There is a war where the Satan loses every week as it is pushed back to the Milky Way. Now, everybody loves to look at the Milky Way. It's beautiful stars, just like a rainbow. A rainbow, why aren't you supposed to look at the rainbow? The Zohar says, never look at a rainbow.
Really? I didn't know that.
Why don't you look at a rainbow? Because what happened when the world had its first rainbow?
Wow.
It was drowned, it was destroyed, it was left with only one family, three sons, three wives, Noah and his wife, four people, and a lot of animals that they spent a lot of nights feeding.
But I heard the rainbow now represents God's promise never to flood the world again.
Yes, so he'll destroy it with fire or earth or what else.
It?
Because it's announcing to the world, I should destroy you, but I remember my promise. So if you are the one who sees the rainbow, you are the one who should be destroyed.
I never heard that before.
That's what the Zohar says. And remember the rules.
Right.
Never believe a word I say.
Right.
Just see what happens when you see a rainbow or when you choose not to see the rainbow. See how your life changes.
Right. does it affect your life? Do you see a rainbow?
Absolutely.
In what way?
It's a wake-up call, and most people don't get waken up. They say, see how beautiful, instead of I need to do teshuva.
Right.
What did I do that I need to see this rainbow?
It's a
wake-up call.
Really? What if you see a double rainbow, Jim said he saw one?
I'm in trouble.
What's the question? If you see the whole rainbow?
I was telling Nora I saw a double rainbow one time. Have you ever seen that?
I've heard of it. I've chosen not to look.
Well, so I said I'm in trouble. That's what I said.
It's a double wake-up call is the way that I would interpret it. That's the way I did interpret it when somebody came into the Kabbalah Center and said, oh, there's a double rainbow. And all of the students ran out and the teachers stayed.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But let's get back to the Star Wars Friday afternoon. When you look at the Milky Way, you're looking at the home of the negative system. That's why it is so beautiful. That's why it's the illusion. There's all of these stars out there. But what if science tells us about the Milky Way right now? What's the center of the Milky Way? A black hole.
A black hole.
Sucking everything into it. That's the nature of the Satan. He wants everything. On Friday, Satan loses the Star Wars because he cannot be active on the Shabbat. None of the negativity can be active on the Shabbat. There are some entities that were created at dusk. And so it can be some chaos in your life up till then. And as Ari said, it's always pressure to run to the Shabbat, to get ready for Shabbat. You can start at 8 o'clock in the morning and you'll still be rushed at 5 or 6 or 7. Because this is the nature of the Star Wars. He's all trying to hold on for doing his job. But what happens at dusk, what happens at sunset, and this is a metaphor that my teachers taught me. You're in an airplane called Earth, and exactly at dusk, the airplane is running down the airport to lift off. And exactly at Shabbat, the airplane rises, the Earth rises and elevates into and becomes unified with heaven, Zeruntin. Malchut and Zeruntin become unified. And that is what is happening on Shabbat. And that's why we say guard the Shabbat. Because if you disconnect from the airplane called the Earth, you fall into this area. These 2,000 amot on all the sides, that you can only walk 2,000 amot is the halakha, whatever an amot is. Because if you exclude that, the earth is not there and you fall into that hole. That's what Shabbat is actually.
Does it mean anything if you were born?
Yes, it means something if you were born on Shabbat. That you have a tikkun that has to do with all of the other tikkuni.
What's that mean?
On Sunday, you have the tikkun of unity.
What?
On Monday, you have the tikkun of male and female and issues according to that. On Tuesday, you have the tikkun of bringing balance into your life and into the people around you. On Wednesday, you have the idea of male and female where the female reduces herself. And so that's an aspect of that. When the moon went to God and said, how can you have two kings? And he said, you're right. Go diminish yourself. And that's how the moon, Amalhut, lost the light of her own. On Thursday, go ahead. Jim, you want to say something?
Oh, no. We had you muted, and Nora unmuted you at the last minute. Sorry about that.
I had to walk away. He filled me in.
I understand. So on Thursday, I actually forget the tikkun, but it has something to do with all of animal life, because that's what was created on Thursday. And on Friday, you have the idea of preparing for the Shabbat. You have the idea of holiness. But on Shabbat, which is Malchut, receives its light from all of the other days. So you get to have the tikkun associated with all of the other days.
So other people that born on a certain day.
They have one to.
I was born on Saturday. My sister was born
too.
On Saturday. My mother and father were born on Saturday.
Me too.
Does that mean anything?
Yeah.
I was born on Saturday too.
What did you want to say, Ari?
I was born on Saturday too.
Okay. Baruch Hashem. That's why we all have such easy to tune in and
awesome.
Just look at our lives. Shabbat, it works both ways. It's an elevation, but if you don't connect to it in a proper way, you fall into that hole. And that's the tikkun. The tikkun is between holiness and mundane. And what is holiness? That's really the question that we're talking about. Is the airplane takes off, which is the earth, floats up, integrates with her husband, Zerantin, meaning the heavens and the earth become united. That's what Shabbat is all about. And we don't see it because we don't have the senses to connect, to understand, to perceive the spiritual energies. Some people do, and that some people have tastes of it. And anybody who keeps Shabbat, 2 Shabbats in a row, will bring Mashiach for their own personal life. And when a sufficient critical mass is reached, Mashiach will manifest because people kept the Shabbat. There's a story about the Ari who should have brought Shabbat, should have brought the Mashiach. And he had all 10 of his students and their families for Shabbat. And they did everything perfectly that first Shabbat. And everything, they were loving and hugging and kissing and being appropriate all through the week. And just before the third meal, on the second Shabbat, 2 children got into a fight. It happens. But then the mothers got into it. And then the husbands of the mothers got into it. And then the other student got into it because they lost their focus. What was their goal? To bring Mashiach. And nobody, to my knowledge, has tried to do it again except individually. So, what is Shabbat? Look at the letters. Shin Bet Tav. Bet Tav is daughter. Shin is energy. It's passion. Shabbat is your rejuvenation for the whole week. The energy that you receive on Shabbat is what you live on for the whole week. On Rosh Hashanah, it was determined how much wealth, monetary value you would receive. It can be changed up until Yom Kippur, and then it can be somewhat changed through Hoshana Rabbah. But whatever that amount is, whatever you spend on Shabbat is an addition. It's not part of your normal weekend. It's not part of your normal earnings. You don't earn money on Shabbat. You connect to the Creator. That consciousness is what helps to keep you unified. When you have a long Shabbat table, as I was always talking about, What is a long Shabbat table? What is its purpose? The Zohar says, keep a long Shabbat table, meaning bring poor people and let them eat. People who are less, I don't want to say less than you, I want to say less able to understand Shabbat than you. Bring them to your table. Let them grow. Let them eat. The Torah was given to non-Jews at the exact moment it was given to Jews. The Torah was given to the non-Jews for a purpose, and it was given to the Jews for a purpose, which is what we will talk about next week, having to do with anti-Semitism. But essentially, every human being in the world will ultimately return to God. Whether they're Jewish, whether they're a child of Noah, they will ultimately return to God because they have a task to do in this world. That's why they were created. They were created from different levels of Sefirot, whatever that means in your life. And that's not part of our discussion today. Our discussion today is to understand what is the passion of the daughter. What's its purpose? Why is it called Shabbat? Bat being daughter. Because Malchut is referred to as daughter. The manifestation in the physical world, the lowest world, other than the negativity, which is below Malchut. But it's always interacting with Malchut. But on Shabbat, there's only this purity passion, this purity of love. Unless you disconnect from Shabbat. Now, we're told don't turn on the car and don't turn on the stove and don't do this and don't do that. And there's a group of people who call themselves Jews who are referred to by themselves and others as the Karaite Jews. And up until the year 1000 was very, almost a third of the Jewish world or Karaites. And they read the Torah literally, and it says, don't turn on a fire. So, in those days, they had fire in their stove, and they turned them off. They didn't follow the rabbi's rulings that you could cook before Shabbat and eat it on Shabbat. So what they eat is cold. And they still enjoy Shabbat. What is the consciousness? Why shouldn't we turn on the fire on Shabbat? Because the fire can be destructive, but more importantly, it's creative. It's the energy that we need from that quiet time of Shabbat, that reflective time of Shabbat. That's the energy we need to handle, to harness, to bring into our own consciousness, because that's what creates the mundane work, the energy for our normal work week, our normal Torah study. It is said, if you study an hour of Talmud during the week, then when you study an hour of Talmud on Shabbat, it's as if you studied a year of Talmud during the week. And it's said that if you study an hour of Zohar during the week, it's as if you studied a year of Talmud on the Shabbat. And if you study a Zohar hour on Shabbat, it's a year's worth of connection to God. These are metaphors that I'm describing that are healthy. The metaphors to help us understand, what is Shabbat? Why should I care? Shabbat is the purpose. It says in the Talmud and also in the Zohar, if you keep a Shabbat, you keep the whole Torah. all 613 mitzvot just by being together on Shabbat. You want to believe that? Has anybody ever tried to keep a Shabbat? You know the difference, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to keep a Shabbat? Sign up for a Shabbaton somewhere. They're all in every city almost every week. There are Shabbatons where you'll go into a hotel and you will not touch any electricity. You leave your lights on and the staff are instructed not to turn them off. You'll turn your TV off. You'll put your Game Boys and your cell phones and your smartphones away. And for the 25 hours, you will do everything as humanly possible to learn and know what is Shabbat. And if you ever do that, you cry when you don't, because you realize what you have lost, that connection to the Creator. I can't prove it to you until you experience it. And yet, I don't do it here. Why? Because I need to use my computer for all of the teachings that I do during the week. I have to prepare those classes. And I use Shabbat for that purpose. But it's not the same as when I keep Shabbat. I can tell you that. It's just a priority because people need to be reconnected to the Creator. And Shabbat is the tool to do that. I've given you over these weeks amazing tools. The Ana Bekoach. Whether you use it or not, it's an amazing tool. The Zohar. Whether you use it or not, it's an amazing tool. For those who use it, they know the truth of that statement. I've given you the calendar. I've given you Tzedakah, a deeper understanding of Teshuvah. All of these weeks, understanding reincarnation has been helpful. Astrology. All of these tools are available to you. But there is only one Shabbat. It is the ultimate tool, and that's why I teach it at the end rather than the beginning. Because until you prove to yourself that these other things work, you're not going to listen to me when I say, let's try and keep a Shabbat at home. Let's light a candle when I've never lit a candle before, or I've stopped lighting candles. Let's do the 10 aspects of the meals that are listed in the Zohar that I'm not going to go over, but if you want to know, we can talk about it afterwards. Let's continue to try and understand what is Shabbat. Why does it mean I'm keeping every one of the 613 mitzvot? Why? Why would God give us 613 and say, keeping my Shabbat, it's like you're keeping all of them? It doesn't make sense, but it's true. How do you keep Shabbat? Well, when that airplane takes off, when that earth elevates, you do nothing. It's a gift. All you have to do is not do any of the 39 creative actions that were done in the temple. And why not? They were done in the temple on Shabbat. Why should we stop? The rabbi said, we missed the temple. We lost the temple. We were the cause of the destruction of the temple. And that cause was hatred for no reason. And I've described hatred for no reason, but I'll do it again. It's not jealousy. It's not anger. Those are all reasons. They may be negative reasons, but there's a reason for it. Hatred for no reason is because when I hear about bad news for somebody, They had a car accident, God forbid. They had some illness, God forbid. What is my first thought as a human being? My reactive thought to hearing about an earthquake in China. Better them than me.
No.
That is the reactive thought of a human being. And when you tear that out of yourself, you become angelic. And a human being is put here not to be lower than the angels, but to be higher. When you learn to remove that response, that reaction, better them than me, you rise higher than the angel. And as the Talmud says, if you don't, you're lower than the mosquito because the mosquito does its job and you don't. And the only way you can get rid of that energy of better them than me, hatred for no reason, is through Shabbat. The energy that you receive on a Shabbat that you keep is how you complete your tikkun. Are there any questions?
Hanuk?
Yes, Ariel.
I guess I'm trying to, I mean, I can see the error in trying to understand it in an intellectual way, but I guess I'm still going to try because sometimes that helps me.
Okay.
But I do see the planet, but can you explain maybe or talk a little bit more about the destructive nature, not the destructive, the creative nature of fire and, or I guess both, the destructive and the creative nature of fire and why those are prohibited? I don't understand. Is it like this story of...
Ariel,
yes.
The reason you don't understand the creative aspect of fire is you don't remember living out in the prehistoric days, when the only thing that kept away the cold and the animals and the other, well, the animals were afraid of men in those days still, but what kept out the cold was the fire. What kept out predators was the fire. That's the creative aspect of fire. God made a gift to Adam of fire when he threw him out of the garden. He said, here, this is the benefit for you. Because Adam looked up at the stars and he thought he had brought those stars. He thought he had created those stars. Because in the Garden of Eden, there's no need for darkness. The sun was out all the time. When the sun was out, wasn't out, the moon was out. And it had light of its own. There was no need to see stars. But when he came into the physical world and he looked up at the stars, it was night. They throw him out, Motzi Shabbat, at the end of Shabbat. And he looks up and he sees stars and he thought he had created this darkness. And to alleviate his suffering, Adam was given fire, which is both creative and, as we know, unfortunately, destructive. As it is it destructive burning the forests in the areas that you live, Ariel? No. It's doing its job of cleansing the forests so that it will regrow. But mankind interferes and says, no, I like my house here, so you can't come and burn it down. Now, I'm not saying that those homes should be destroyed, but I'm saying every time there's a hurricane and we destroy the houses in that location, people are very smart. They go and build them right back up in the same place. And 10 years later, they will get destroyed again. People don't think, I'm stronger than nature. That's what they think. And the answer is yes, we can control nature, but not until we become spiritual, not until we grow to a higher level, not until we utilize the energy of Shabbat for that purpose. Now, we have 38 other creative aspects. Some of them, that makes no sense to me. I can take a plate of peas and carrots, and I happen to like both, so it's no problem for me. But somebody else says, I like peas, and somebody else says, I like carrots. On Shabbat, you cannot separate what you like. You can pick out what you like and leave the rest, but that's not what you do during the week. During the week, you separate out which side you like. You're creating separation, and that's okay during the weekdays. But when you do it on Shabbat, you're creating separation in the universe because you are already in heaven. The fires of Gehinnom have been quieted. They've been put out. You've given all of those relatives of yours who shouldn't be there but are, and you've given them the opportunity for rest. Now, what does the Torah say? God rested on the seventh day. And what does it say before that? He finished his creation, which means he worked on the seventh day, but I can't. This is what the sages have taught us. This is what the Karaites ignore. Now, why? What's the right thing to do? Every person has to make their own study. Why? 500 years ago, you had rabbis who could tell you these reasons. But today, those rabbis and the people who made the effort and achieved their tikkun, they're not in this world anymore. Yes, there's 7.5 billion people, but those 7.5 billion people, of the 13, 14, 15 million people called Jews, they represent not 600,000 people like they did in the desert. They represent a very small proportion. When Rabbi Shimon traveled up to heaven at the time of the destruction of the temple, roughly that time, his estimate was that there were 300,000 of those 600,000 had already completed their correction. So what's that? Are we still 300,000? No, every year somebody, a few people, achieve their correction. How much of us are left? We don't have rabbis. We don't have teachers who will give us this information and spoon-feed it and let us use their light to achieve our tikkun and go up to heaven and not have to reincarnate. The people in our world, the 13, 14, 15 billion people that call themselves Jews or used to be Jews or however secular Jews, however you want to describe them, they're a very small percentage of that 600,000. And you don't have a leader, a teacher, who's going to explain it to you. I'm explaining it to you, but I'm telling you where to look for the truth. And until you do it yourself and make your own decisions, there's no other option. You're just going to keep coming back and reincarnating until you do the work. And the work means to study Torah. Now, there are 12 different paths to the Creator for the children of Israel. And there are 70 paths to the Creator for the B'nai Noah, the children of Noah. Which is the right path for you? till you know where you come from, which tribe you come from. And yes, we call ourselves Jews, but we're reincarnated from those 12 tribes. And there are some children of Dan, children of God, who are still in this world. There are the heir of Rav, who have worked to bring themselves into the children of Israel. They're ready to be here as a child of Israel. And yet, what do they want to become, most of them? They want to be rabbis in this generation because they want to be honored. They want to make big donations and build beautiful temples and synagogues. Everybody has a tikkun. And we all have to wait until I finish mine. And I guarantee you I will be the last one here because I know myself. Most of you don't know yourself. I should say B'liya Nira to that because I hope it's not true. But I know myself.
What does that mean?
Means I know the sins that I do. I calculate every day who I hurt, who I should have done better with.
You want to stay here longer?
No, I don't want to stay here longer. I know that I will stay here at least 300 more years because that's how long it's going to take me to cleanse all of the mistakes that I have made. I'm sorry? Just one. I'll be 300 years old when I die. At least 300, maybe more. I know you can't believe that. So what? Does it make it not true? It makes it not true for you. But for me, I know I'm going to be here.
So tired of
this.
Well, it's so bad.
No, look at all the people I get to teach Kabbalah to. Look at all the people I get to explain the Shabbat to. I won't be so tired. You know, it's ultimately going to take 300 years for my soulmate to reincarnate enough times that she'll get me into her life finally. Are there any other questions? Everybody's quiet. May you all have a wonderful holiday of Yom Kippur, which is the only day of the year where you can climb to what's called cosmic bina. It's the only day that you can get to the level where you can create the year of pleasure that you require. Because on that day, Hashem has created a ritual and given it to us that allows us to cleanse ourselves completely. You become righteous on Yom Kippur, whether you did the work of Teshuvah or you didn't do the work of Teshuvah. You become righteous on that day. That's what I discussed in my class this morning. How you become righteous through the various rituals, one of which you can consider doing because we don't have access to chickens, but I make available the taparot process through money, not through money in the sense of you pay me, but in the sense of raising 5 silver coins over your head with the appropriate prayer. And if you want it done, you need to let me know what names to use, which is the name of the person, the name of the father of that person. And if any of you are pregnant, which is not something I don't think is happening, but if anybody is pregnant, they need to send me three names, one for themselves and their father, the woman and their father, and one for each of the children that potentially could be a boy or a girl. Because ultimately, you cannot know, even with today's modern technology, where the doctor says it's going to be a boy or it's going to be a girl, up until the birth moment, that soul can change. So you really don't know.
And the Jews religion, and that, of course, find out, right?
That's an old wives' tale. Doesn't say don't know. Because women have been playing this game for thousands of years.
The Orthodox.
The Orthodox know that they shouldn't ask, so they wait. But others, I've read stories where sitting in the marketplace, they would run a string, and if it hit your wrist or which side of your wrist, it was a boy or a girl.
If you were
walking around high, the baby was high, it was going to be a girl. You know, all of these wives' stories, all of these superstitions, what's the truth?
The truth is I printed Adrienne Rouge and Adrienne Lewis.
The truth is you don't know what the sex of the child will be, and you get to wait and see, and that's a gift. Because you have all of this fantasy to put yourself through. So if you want, send me an email. If you want and don't use email, as I know some people here don't, you know, I'm physically available to you, so you can come knock on my door and tell me the names you'd like. Any other questions?
No, but I want 5 points. I'm going to give you 5 names.
Okay.
Like
Shalom to all. Everybody should have an easy fast and be written in the Book of Life.
Easy fast, Hanuk. Amen.
Thank you, Hanuk.
You have a beautiful evening and afternoon. And remember to eat all of your food Monday night and Tuesday, because the more you eat, the more you're fasting.
Okay.
Shalom.
Hanuk, yes. This is a real question. When are you going to send out the recording for the class for today, this morning?
Bezrat Hashem, I will do it tonight when I get it.
Okay. Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.